Hey everyone, another great episode of the show today. We discussed the crypto overnight pullback across the board with everything bleeding, it seems. We also talked about the meme coin mania slowing down and what could come next and if you are buying this dip or not. Lastly, we talked about ordinals and why trading ordinals or buying ordinals is a lot more exciting than ETH right now and the difference between the two. And also shared some predictions for the coming months. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Nifty Morning Show. It's Tuesday. It's bright and early. We're ready to get after and we are discussing the overnight crypto dump. They're going to need some Charmin Ultrasoft for that dump we saw last night and where we could go from here and whether or not the meme coin meta has ended. It's not looking pretty. My meme coin bags are disastrous. And the commenters are, looks like they're agreeing. And lastly, I do want to talk about why NFTs on Magic Eden are a case study I've been watching and why it's very interesting in terms of the blur liquidity going away and the impact that it's having on floor prices. And lastly, we'll be talking to Tony from Shrapnel at the end of the show about all things GDC and STX 2.0. Nick, it's great to have you on the show at the very beginning. I saw your breaking news yesterday about CloneX. Actually got some traction. Got a lot of people talking about CloneX. This is the most I've seen people talk about CloneX probably in the last 12 months.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What did you make of the reaction to the news that we saw yesterday?
Well, we saw the same playbook play out. We got a community manager saying it's not true. Then we got a founder kind of indirectly denying it, but not actually denying it. I don't even want to comment more because I'm going to the more that I expand on my stuff, the more that I expose the source. And so that's why I don't want to discuss it in terms of people are like, yo, can you give us more details? And I'm like, no, you go play journalist. You go find out. Well, people being like, yo, this is a violation of
information because Nike's like a publicly traded company or something.
Yeah, that was from here you go, Wizard of Soho, who's a complete gambling addict and not a lawyer. So I don't understand what he and loves charging people to join his alpha group so he can dump meme coins on them. So it's funny to get legal advice from somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also am not Nike, I feel like is not going to dump overnight because of this news. People seem whoa. Okay.
No one gives a shit about Artifact. Basically, they have no measurable impact on the business. That was already priced in when the acquisition happened. In fact, they would be saving money by just killing the thing. And it feels like it's not like Nike has a problem creating shoes. There were definitely creative shoes that were done.
They could have done those either way.
Yeah, there was no. Artifact is not a requirement to make that happen. Instead, Artifact is just added complexity and a subset of people, as we've seen in the comments, that just won't shut the hell up and allow the business to operate. They're just a vocal set of holders who want the price to go up, and Nike, I don't think, cares about it.
No. No, they've shown no indication. CloneX's are down to 0.5 ETH. The Artifact Animus eggs are down to 0.15, and a lot of people are like, hey, would you buy this? They're cheap. I'm like, cheap compared to what? Cheap compared to their historical prices. Yeah, they were at 10 ETH, but that doesn't mean I think they even got to 20 ETH. I don't even remember, but yes, they're cheap compared to that, but they're still $2,000, right? And you can buy a lot of other things and there's no indication of you get access to shoe drops or there's a good community. I rarely see these clone X's other than what happened yesterday when they actually made some cool edits of the guy putting hats on and talking shit about you, but I wouldn't be surprised. And then they go hey, we're so bullish on the future of decentralization that we want to make CloneX decentralized. the community can take it over. And we just want to give you guys the power and the tools to do this. I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, but Signal, were you surprised by the news at all when you saw this go down?
I was massively surprised, but I've just come to like not fade Nick on these stories. You have to let them brew like a good cup of tea. Let it brew before you add the milk, right? He's been right on Bored Apes. He was right on Cool Cats. He was right on Moonbirds. And I'm pretty sure there's one more I'm forgetting. This will probably not break in the next couple of weeks. You might even have to give it a couple of months. But so far, his track record has been like Pac-Man. You think you just don't fade him when it comes to the rumor news. You know something is going to break. So I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs. To be honest, I actually think it's a good thing for the Artifact team, because it definitely felt like over the last couple of years, Nike never really went fully in on like kind of like publicly supporting Artifact. It wasn't until I think last year that we kind of saw the two, like those two companies coming together to have sort of the same marketing front. Before that, it was really quiet. And then before they got acquired, Artifact was easily one of the best projects in the space. If they can get back that original, like, je ne sais quoi they had at the beginning as a team and that sort of startup grittiness and, you know, spin out and do their own thing, I actually think it could be a good thing for them.
I mean, they're rich now, you know?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, like, they chose rich.
Like, I feel like what the grittiness is going to be slightly different. That's not to suggest, I'm blanking on which of the guys is the like sort of creative genius, the main guy who was designing the shoes. One second. I'll have to look it up. But Chris Lee, this guy's been building for a long time. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like you just have to, this story will eventually materialize.
What I did like was, Nick, I did notice a shift in people's demeanor. For a lot of people were like, dude, don't fade Nick, bro. They were putting some respect on your name, actually. They were like, hey, Nick has been right basically every other time. Why
were people saying I was engagement farming? Like, this was what everything built up to. This moment was, I've just been waiting. I was thinking, hit him with some funny, hit him one more time with the funny, and then drop fake information on the timeline. I don't see community notes operating anymore, which is kind of fucked up, because they just stole $5,000 from me, because apparently you don't get monetized when you get community noted. So there's like 150 million impressions that just fucking disappear basically, which is absolute. I mean, that's straight up robbery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
But you've been encouraging the community notes. That's the ironic thing. You've been saying to the haters, community note me, but you've actually been stealing from your own pocket, Nick, in the end.
You know, I could have had an extra, you know, $5,000 or something like that this month. And instead, we spent it on, that's like my daily budget. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like for my, not even, it's probably a little bit more nowadays, you know? Just for all the costs, including the helicopters, my houses, and everything else, it has to be well over that at this point. I don't even keep track of it. I mean, that's like only 1.8 million a year.
Mm. That's nothing. That's just the maintenance of the plants. I mean, a gardener in the Miami place, that's at least 5K, you know, per month, I would say.
Those plants were plastic. They were fake.
Which?
The ones in the Miami house. A lot of turf, a lot of the plastic thing on the plastic plants on the.
Why you disrespect my house like that? Dude, I feel like people still don't believe that that's my house.
They don't.
And Clemente is just willing to be like, it's not his house, even though it definitively is.
I didn't say that. I just said it was a lot of.
You're saying, oh, Nick's got a bunch of plastic plants in his house.
Yeah, that's more of what I'm saying.
You're saying it's all a facade.
Yeah, I mean, no. I'm just saying maybe the plants aren't what the people might think they might be. But anyways, we're gonna kick this show off. And yes, I did actually. I will admit, I was so off on. I called Clonex Animus eggs as a buy like 2 weeks ago, like 0.4, and they're a disaster right now. They're down to 0.15, dude.
I mean, every ETH NFT is a disaster. What did I call? What was the call of everybody?
We all went ETH NFTs. I'm gonna need to go back and find it. But I bought another Sethi Seal last night. FYI,
I don't think that's a bad trade, Clemente. I know ETH NFTs are completely dead at the moment, but like I said, fundamentals haven't changed. Teams are still good. Sethi's still got it.
With crypto pulling back, I do think the NFTs could have a little moment here. Talk about our Solana bags dropping though, and everything else dropping. Jeez.
Well, we're gonna talk about it.
I was feeling so rich. I was like, "Yo, this company, we could just go spend."
Yeah.
What are we gonna spend on the next video? $25,000, and now I'm like, "Well, that's gone."
Yeah, we got, dude. In hindsight, it was so obvious how, like, seeing the attitude and how people were tweeting and all this stuff. It was we needed this. We needed this. But before we get started with today's show, I'm gonna give a quick shout out to Shrapnel, the partner of today's show, the official gaming partner of Bodagos. They're in GDC this week, and they're going to be doing, Easy's going to be streaming their game on Thursday. They got a bunch of stuff they are announcing this week, which we're super excited about. We're going to talk to Tony about later on in the show. Their Shrap token was just listed on the crypto.com exchange. They have their STX2 coming from March 20 to the 23rd, and they have some very exciting rollouts with their marketplace. It's going live very soon, which will include tradable skins, tradable guns, a lot of, look at this bad boy right here. But yeah, we're going to be talking to Tony about it at the end of the show. But if you want to learn more about Shrapnel, I would honestly just recommend you follow them at playshrapnel.com, or just go to thenifty.com/shrapnel and you can buy an extraction pack if you want to play the game, which we did just 2 weeks ago at Nick's Miami house. So thank you to Shrapnel, and we will be talking to Tony later on in the show. Signal, please take it away with the weather report whenever you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Clemente, Tuesday, March 19th, guys. ETH market volume is coming at 23 million. Solana market volume at 10.8. Onto the market leaders on ETH, everything is just down. You got Peplicators at 0.07. The Sappy Seals down to 0.77. The Professional Degen 5, a frequent actually by OSF. That's actually up, trading at 0.6. Over on Sol, they got the Fraganas. They're also down to 2 Sol. Parcel down to 8. And over on Bitcoin, Free Mint Bitmon sees an initial fall of 0.22 BTC, while Node Monkeys fall 17% down to 0.6675 BTC. And OMBs, they've also dipped slightly down to 0.4 BTC. Over the past 24 hours, the top stories were firstly Avalanche SocialFi app and previous FinTech competitor Stars Arena has announced its plans to launch their Arena token. It's going to be a governance one. Users can expect 69 Arena per airdrop point for what they accrue in the app. 10% of the community allocation will initially be airdropped, with the remaining 90% distributed throughout the year. Secondly, obviously, it's a crypto crash. It went bad overnight as BTC ETF saw outflows of over 150 million. This marks the first day of outflows since the 1st of March. BTC down to 63,000. ETH also down to 3,250. Solana down to $180, wiping the majority of the gains from the last 7 days, reporting a 480 million in liquidation over the past 12 months. Sorry, the past 12 hours. Thirdly, over on meme coins, they continue to bleed as well, with the majors such as Pepe, Griff, and Bonk all dropping 50% on the day. Pre-sold tokens also bled out from their all-time highs. You've got Book of Meme, that's down 60%. Snap down almost 90%. And NOS is crashing 94%. Meanwhile, Slurp has done over $3 billion in volume since their dev accidentally burned pre-sale buyer token allocation. And then lastly, after promising an airdrop for beta users, Psy NFT Marketplace, Nuts Market, receives 2.5 million requests and over 63,000 account signups in the first 30 minutes after various tweets from Beanie. That is all for the weather report. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Thank you, Signal. We'll need to tinker with the music settings. I think it was a little bit loud this time around, but appreciate the weather report. Not pretty. It's not pretty out there, folks. But some stories from the Daily Bone. You can go subscribe at dailybones.com. We also posted on Twitter, and it's pinned up at the top. Very first story, we have Trevor from Pizza Ninjas has announced a free Ordinals mint open to any Pizza Ninjas, Runestone holders, and Wizard of Ord holders who have not listed their assets. Is another one. I believe they did their first one about a month ago, and I actually sold that one for about $250. So pretty nice there. They're taking a snapshot. They're continuing to do these free drops for holders, which is very interesting. Next story, Zach XBT looked into how much SOL has been sent to people from the presale meta, and he calculated that 655,000 Solana, which is $122 million, have been raised from 27 different presales. So this is pretty crazy stuff here. Next story, USDB, which is the stable coin on Blast, has been gaining controversy this week after it depegged. It's right now it's down to 0.98. It got all the way down to 0.97 as of this morning. Nick, I see you shaking your head. Anything to add here? You're muted. You're muted. But by the way, what I will this is where if people stake their USDB on Blast, you do get, just by holding it in there, you get a 15% yield right now. So I don't know what's going on here, but Nick.
Well, it's, I don't know. These stable coins on different platforms, we'll see what happens with this. I mean, what are your options? How many days does it take to migrate your money off of Blast?
14 days was last time I checked.
But you can use other third-party bridges, which are faster as well.
Probably what's going on with this thing is people just selling to get back into ETH to try and withdraw, but they can't. I don't know how this stablecoin operates. Is this a algorithmic one? Is this what is this?
I have literally no idea. I don't think it's algorithmic from what Cyrus was saying, but I mean, I was looking at just tracking Blast activity overall in the last 7 days, and it's a desert right now. Like, there is seriously no activity going on, Nick. I would say it's less than 5 to 10 ETH in trading volume for NFTs over there right now. Mm-hmm. Their DEXs are getting a little bit of volume, but like, it's a Solana meme coin. Just one is like kicking their ass for all activity going on Blast right now. So, I don't anticipate, their TVL is still $3 billion. So people just have their money over there. And because of Pac-Man's like Ponzi-nomics point structure, you lose so much of your multiplier, so much of your points if you bridge away right now, that it's just like kind of everyone waiting for some sort of real project to come on to Blast. But like Kix was saying, that overall Blast pretty much only gave builders 3 months to come up with a product and like try to build anything. So what happened was it was just like a rush to get a product out and try to capture that initial liquidity, which didn't go well.
I mean, you were pretty bullish on it only a couple of weeks ago, and now it sounds like things have turned. What do you say to all the people who you advise to take all of their sort of money and move it over to Blast? Do you feel bad about that? Do you feel like there should be some accountability toward you?
I would say that is why at the very beginning of the videos, we have a disclaimer. Say, hey, there's not financial advice. Don't trust me. Hey, I'm not a financial advisor. You know, it's very risky out there. You got to keep your feet chopping. But it's bad, man. It's not good at all. And you know what's worse, Nick, is I put in an ETH into Blur in November when it was like 45 cents or something. Dude, I felt like such a genius. But in reality, ETH has done a 2x since then, and I'm just stuck with this staked Blur, which is not pretty, but I think I'm just going to keep it in there for now. I'm not going to try to get too cute with it.
I put money in there as well. Wow, that does not look good. Yeah, we're going to say single.
So it has done a 2x, Clemente. If you bought it at 40 cents, it has done a 2x. So you can see it went up to over 0.8.
If I sold.
Yeah, if you sold. So, I mean, you have to realize your gains as well, right? But it also feels like the sentiment around Blast is very similar to the sentiment that Blur had when it first came out, and everyone was sort of saying Blur is killing the NFT market and no one really understood it. And then the season one airdrop was one of the most lucrative airdrops of last year. So it just kind of feels like that's the same sentiment we're seeing there over on Blast at the moment. And there's still, like, I think as an ecosystem, there's some very interesting dApps on there to be using, and you just have to find whatever, like whatever it is you want to be doing over there, whether it's perps, whether it's DeFi, whether it's NFTs, because all of this stuff in the end does accrue points and will amount to something in May.
That's the hope. I mean, look, Blast is way too many big people backing it, like strong people in the crypto space, in order for it to fail. Like, it's way too many people that are that want and are massively involved in their success in order for it to have any sort of failure. So I'm not fading Blast. If you have conviction in it, this is a time where, you know, you get on there, farm some points, etc. But next story, Bloomberg is getting involved in the meme coins. Yesterday they were discussing the performance of BOEM, WIF, and Doge meme coins, and mentioned that most of the action is taking place on Solana right now. So we're continuing to see the mainstream media come after the meme coins. Next story, we had, like I was saying, meme coins continue to drive volume as Solana DEX volume in Radium, Jupiter, and Orca has surpassed Uniswap volume in the last 24 hours. Next story, PUPS, which is a the PUPS token is going to have a significantly higher supply than the anticipated 10 million tokens as phase three commences. This is a BRC20 token, folks, and I expect the trading to start ramping up on that platform or on that front as we get closer to the halving and rune stones and all that great stuff starts happening. Shout out to Casey Rodimer, former Binance CEO CZ. Has announced that he is launching Giggle Academy, which is a free gamified education platform for grade 1 through 12 students that incorporates soulbound blockchain tokens. So CZ getting into the education space. And last story, we had Juice Finance announce an additional, not huge, but $1 million funding round, including from our very own Spencer Ventures. But this is an additional to their $6 million raise in February. Nick?
Sorry, so this education thing that CZ's doing, is this like brainwashing the kids into believing that Bitcoin is the future of finance?
I was surprised that he announced that, to be honest. It's called Giggle Academy, which is also an interesting name.
Sounds like borderline inappropriate. I don't know. Sounds weird, man.
No revenue. It's gamified. I don't know. What's the end game here? Is my question. But yeah, I mean, I don't
maybe
know.
He's passionate about education. I have no idea. Well, it says read the concept paper at Giggle Academy.
GiggleAcademy.com. That's a pretty good domain name. I do like that. Giggle Academy. Very interesting. But hey, if you want to work on this, CZ is looking for a small team. They're hiring. You can work directly with him, which could be I don't know if people are interested in that, but we have a mint today. This is happening on the Tensor Launchpad. It's a 2494 collection. It is a similar model to Steppit, as it's called Golfin. And the AL price is 4 SOL, a little bit steep. Public price at 5 SOL. The AL mint starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. We're going to see how this thing does. 4 SOL is not a small chunk of change, especially with Solana, almost at $200. So
yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah, I hope it comes in golf clubs.
Yeah, Golfin pack vouchers are redeemable for an unopened pack of 3 Golfin collectible NFTs. No. It announced an innovative play-to-earn ecosystem year-round, even if they don't golf. Okay, well, interesting. We'll see how that plays out. But I do want to kick things off by talking about this crypto dump, this Charmin Ultrasoft crypto dump that happened over the last 24 hours.
What does Charmin Ultrasoft have to do with this?
It was a dump joke. Over the past 24
like
hours,
a joke.
Yeah. It was maybe it wasn't the best. But Nick, over the last 24 hours, we have Bitcoin down 7%, ETH down 8%, Solana down 12%. You are obviously a very rich man. You are, I believe, getting some additional liquidity. You're getting a liquidity injection happening. What are you most interested in buying? I'm curious how you're navigating this ecosystem right now.
I mean, we're only down upwards of 15% right now. We got to get a nice 30% pullback here. I'd like to see us down here at, what is this? 51K, something like that. Although Mr. Bollinger Bands may say that we're only going down to 60. I like it. I like Bitcoin. I like Solana. Solana is down at 182. We were like so rich for a minute there at 210. Absurd. Holy cow. Look, we've had a hell of a run. We need some consolidation here. Like this is just necessary. We ran into a similar thing back in what, December? Solana touched 125 and then dropped down as low as 80. So, you know, that's a significant drop. If you come down all the way here, that was a 37% pullback before continuing to go on an absolute heater. So I think a 30% pullback in all of this is completely reasonable. If you look on the daily on Solana, the Bollinger Bands go all the way down to 104. So, like, I mean, we're just going to get a lot of volatility here. Nothing wrong with this. This is incredibly desirable. I would love to buy some Solana, honestly, if we can get this pull, like, to pull back to, you know, 150, something like that. Let's go. I'm excited about this. All the meme coin people are getting pretty wrecked right now. They're not happy. I also wonder, everyone talks about like the meme coin space. What percentage of people like make money in that sort of cycle? Because I saw a lot of people tweeting about their losses. And the reality is like, this is literally, there's no net growth. Like, it's literally just like money into the casino, money out of the casino, and a tax on all those transactions.
And it was so absurd to me. I didn't participate too much in this pre-sale meta, but like at the end of the day, and you're trading at such a disadvantage in the meme coin game, I would argue it's even more of a disadvantage than the NFT game, because there's people that know more, way more information than you. They're plugged into the right group chats or plugged into the right circles, and they know what's going to do well. They, or at least they have a way better indicator, way more information to be able to make that call. And then they're tweeting about it. They're doing all these things. And at the end of the day, it's a game of hot potato. And at the end, if you're stuck holding the bag, I mean, Book of Memes is down. It got up to a $1.6 billion market cap. Last time I checked, it was at $500 million. And that was just in 2.5 days. So it's just absolutely brutal. And I would doubt that we had, but these huge gains came from it, right? Like this guy, Bunker Collector, said he got it 120x from Book of Memes. So anyways, a signal, anything to add here, meme coin related?
Yeah, it was funny because didn't I say to you yesterday, Clemente, that back in June when everybody was sending money to those pre-sale addresses, it marked the bottom of the bear market, and then the bull market now seemed to be consolidating after all the pre-sale stuff. Look, I mean, like this frothiness, it kind of reminds me of like 2021, where you literally just buy a lazy line, it goes up. When you have these Insta 5Xs, 6Xs, you know, like that guy was saying 120Xs. It's just too frothy. Something has to cool off. I still think like meme coins are really fun to trade. And I think like when you compare to where you were just even 4 or 5 months ago, we were like begging for something to be interesting. We were like, you know, we were betting on hamsters, guys. Like that's how bad it got. So like meme coins are actually fun. And even though they're cooling off, and obviously they cool off with 80 to 90% drop here, I still don't think that attention has gone away. We're just cooling off on everything at the moment, and it will come back. And there's some really good meme coins. Like Pierre was talking about his meme coin portfolio. Like if you want to construct a portfolio of meme coins, this would be the, you know, the best time to do that. And getting in on, I think he said he was on Whiff, on Bonk, on Mog, like all that kind of stuff. So I think like this consolidation phase could be a really interesting one. We're cooling off in all areas here, but I still think that for the stuff that you want to hold, this is a good time to buy. Really good time to buy.
I hate it. That, Nick, I hate that, sorry to just jump in here. I hate it, but PO buying and saying, hey guys, I'm into meme coins here. Like, you can't fade them. That was literally the top signal. I feel so bad because it was like, he finally got it. He's like, let's go. And I do think, like, I've got a fat bag of Bonk, for example, like long term. I'm like, I think Bonk is going to 20 billion. So I'm like, I don't mind buying more here, just holding the bag and waiting for the next go around for meme coins to pick back up. But yeah,
Nick, strong Avalanche is looking here. I mean, this just looks so good. I'm loving it. I think that, dude, the trade is still the trade. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. It's just another day. The market, the crypto market goes through extreme pumps and extreme drops.
Nick, are you more interested in, like, out of the three, you have ETH, Bitcoin, and Solana? Bitcoin has dumped significantly more than Solana. Well, so over the last 7 days, this is kind of interesting. Solana's up 20%, ETH is down 18%, and Bitcoin's down 12%. Are you interested possibly in buying a bit more Bitcoin or ETH, given that it has dumped significantly more in the last 7 days?
Wow, ETH went down as much as 22%. This is painful. This is painful. I'm interested, again, the exact same. I kind of sound like I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again. Bitcoin, Solana number one, Bitcoin number two, ETH maybe number three, Avalanche number four, or AVAX. Those are my four main tokens. If I have a small amount of things like Mog, Pepe, Dogecoin, small amount, I think like 10, 20 grand total into like my whole portfolio, in sort of the meme high risk stocks or stocks. What am I talking about? Crypto tokens. Sorry, it's difficult because I have such a massive portfolio. It's difficult for me to stay on track with each. But yeah, it's the same thing. Look, when it, like, this is there, the market gives you new opportunities to buy in. I don't think we're just turning around. Like I said yesterday, I do like the idea of hedging a little bit. The S&P has run extremely hot, so the whole market is running. We've seen like a 26% pump on stocks since October, basically November 1st. So you got a few months, four and a half months. Everyone's stock portfolio is up 26%, which is pretty damn good for a year. And I think that everything's going to have to cool off some. We see Bitcoin pumping, and then we see those CPI numbers come out, which I mentioned yesterday. I don't know. Trade has not changed. It's just buy when it goes down.
Yeah. Hold the line. Buy when it goes down.
Hold the line.
Hold the line.
Hold the line.
I do want to move on a little bit and talk about these illiquid JPEGs, because I think it's getting interesting. And Nick, you mentioned that you would be interested in potentially buying something here. I want to start with ordinals. I want to actually start in that direction. And I am very interested to see what you guys are most curious about, what you find most interesting in terms of some of these collections. We got Bitcoin Puppets at 0.22 Bitcoin, Node Monkeys at 0.67.
Oh, my bad. I shouldn't be
sharing. OMBs at 0.38 and Bitcoin Frogs at 0.1. I'm curious, out of these more collectible styles.
What's going on with the screen that you're sharing here? Okay, now it's showing.
Okay. What are you most interested in? And I'll start with you, Nick. When you look at some of these prices, I'm curious what catches your eye and what you'd be interested in potentially buying here when it comes to ordinals.
Dude, I have a big NFT bag. That's the big issue that I have at this moment in time. I've always been bullish on Node Monkeys. That's the main one that I'm interested in. Quantum Cats have stayed pretty, like they're like a stable coin at this point in time. So they've been doing pretty well. And if you look at the D's Farouk Thread Guy Collective, they got the Bitcoin puppet thing going on. What's the floor of OMB at right now?
It is at 0.4.
Wow. What happened?
Well, those are the orange eyes, right? So the green eyes, I think, went from 1.2. The last time I checked, they're like 0.85. But the floor right now is these orange eyes. If you can, yeah. Green eyes are at 0.8, blue at 3.7, and red at 6.9.
So was that whole pump because of the new OMBs?
Yeah, you would get a allow list for it. So you could get one at like a discounted rate. And
how much could you buy them for?
Allow list, it depended. I think the first allow list was 0.09 or something. I need to get the exact, I'll look at it right now. But yeah,
it was 0.09. And then I think it was 0.29. And then public was one Bitcoin. So it was like 0.99. Yeah.
So 0.09 for holders, 0.29 for allow list, and 0.99 for public. Yeah.
So this trade wasn't good.
It's pretty much a break even, right? Like if you buy anything after the after the mint stuff is announced, everything seems to be pretty much priced in.
So Node Monkeys have flipped OMB?
Yes. Technically, 100%.
That's interesting.
But it is it is a different supply, right? Like I believe Ordinal MaxiBiz is they do a tiered thing, so it's a different thing. But yeah, it's about half the supply of these Node Monkeys. But Node Monkeys are
even worse now.
Well, Node Monkeys flip Bored Apes, Nick.
I mean, I like the Node Monkeys. I think they're very interesting. And these are now 0.65 up from, where did they go down to?
They got down to like 0.35 Bitcoin literally last week.
Wow. Well, I missed that because I was so busy being famous. Damn.
So, Signal, I'm curious if, but before I move on to the next thing, I wanted to talk about when comparing ETH NFTs to Ordinals. But is there anything that's interesting to you, Signal, when you look at these some of these collections?
I think on the top collections, what would be interesting will be how certain projects with runes, how they'll distribute them. So potentially, obviously, if you're one of the top projects, there could be some more tokens coming your way if he holds like OMBs, Node Monkeys, just from the different projects. As you know, a lot of them will probably try to get the widest distribution possible, and dropping them to the most popular top projects would be obviously a good place to start. You saw how Leonidas did it. So I think like airdrop activity isn't always being priced in across all the collections at the moment. Some of them, yes, some of them, no. I would be looking, it kind of depends what your budget is, right? If you can get the top ones, go, you know, definitely get the top ones because they aren't going anywhere at the moment. I think it's interesting how Node Monkeys went all the way down to 0.3 and have managed to come back to almost 0.7. But I would be looking for the trends also on the art side. Like, Ethereum NFTs had a really strong art narrative and continue to have a very strong narrative. On the Ordinal side for art, that is there. Obviously, have the OGs like Nullish for example, but there isn't that momentum. There isn't that like, oh, I got to go get, you know, the equivalent of, you know, a squiggle, but over on Ordinals, but something completely different. That narrative is not there. It's all PFPs. So I've been looking for the art side and seeing like which artists potentially could catch that wave when it comes, because inevitably the PFP narrative on Ordinals will cool down. So that's what some of the research that I've been doing at the moment.
Yeah. It and by the way, the bottom on these Node Monkeys was 0.45, not 0.35. I believe the lowest sale was 0.44. Yeah, I mean, it does feel like the rotation is happening from meme coins now back over to Ordinals. The other thing that I was looking at, and I want to transition here a little bit, is I started checking out the difference between ETH NFTs and ordinals. And what I love about ordinals is that everything is organic, right? Like you go to Magic Eden and there's way more volatility because every single buyer and seller is organic. There's no points farming going on. When you look at Blur, there's 1,000 bids for a sappy seal at like 0.7 because they're all trying to farm these points. So what's constantly happening is you're getting this inorganic group of buyers and sellers. But what's been really interesting is I started to check out last night ETH NFTs on Magic Eden. And these are the royalty enforcing ETH NFTs. And I was very surprised by the lack of liquidity that was on there. Just to give you an example, Utes in the last 24 hours have had 32 sales, 9 ETH in volume, and their floor is down to 0.27. Creeps have had only 7 sales in the last 24 hours. So at the end of the day, what you're getting here is this is the illiquidity that I've frankly wanted. Like, I do think a transition back to illiquid ETH NFTs is what I would like. And at the end of the day, when you look at like Sappy Seals, for example, I've been studying them very closely because it's just been the one collection that I find interesting. And you watch and they slowly grind it up from like 0.7 to 0.9. And then all of a sudden in one transaction or in 10 seconds, a farmer just dumps 30 of them. And then they dip back down to 0.7, which is what we saw yesterday. So all in all, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on it, but I found it interesting. And I personally don't mind paying royalties if it means I can trade with real organic volume, because ultimately those upswings are going to be a lot more legit when there's not Blur farmers pushing it down one way or another. They kind of limit the volatility. But Nick?
I'm not quite sure if I have a detailed take on this one. I appreciate your analysis in terms of the fact where if you don't have liquidity pools for this, there was also a whole conversation around like loan situations. Do you know anything about what was happening with Pudgy Penguins on the loan side of things?
Yeah, I mean, it was just everything was over leveraged, right? So I'll pull up the chart real quick, which shows the loans on Blur, which is just the outstanding blend loans. And you look at Pudgy Penguins, and it was just absurd how fast or how large the percentage of the outstanding supply was actually in loans. And then when you take those out at 20 ETH, basically, it slowly becomes and then these go to like 15 ETH, then all those become underwater and people just default on them, right? So what a lot of people did and what a lot of people do across all platforms, right? Like they use Sharkify, they do whatever it is on Ordinals. When something hits 20 ETH, for example, on Pudgy Penguins, you can get like a 19 ETH or 18 ETH offer on it, right? So you can just take that and then hedge. If it goes up, you can just pay back the loan. You have the NFT. But if this thing jumps to like 10 ETH, you just don't pay back the loan. You'd keep your 18 ETH, but then the person that lent to you is then stuck with that NFT that they didn't even want, because the only reason they were giving blend loans was because they were farming the Blur points. So it then becomes a cascading effect, which is what we saw, where there's no real demand and there's just Blur farmers just playing patty cake, hot potato with one another. And we get Pudgy Penguins down to 10 ETH, which is what we saw.
Is it patty cake or hot potato?
Patty cake, hot potato, either one. I'm a fan of either or.
I feel like it would be hot potato here.
It's hot potato.
It is hot potato.
Patty cake has nothing to do with that.
No. Clemente just likes playing patty cake.
Anything? Okay, cool. Any contribution there, Nick? Signal
any contribution
on the in-depth
I like watching Clemente flail as a host. Here we go.
I'm freaking just giving you guys this hot alpha, and Nick just goes, oh, like patty cake.
I didn't say that, actually. Pio did.
Okay.
I'm loving Pio's entries these days. This is day two of Pio's entry. Yesterday he came with an espresso. It was like, and then when the show ended, he just bounced, just like gone, Houdini. And then today is like another comes in as his cup of coffee, patty cake, hot potato, and then he'll bounce again. Good to see you, Pio, man. It's been a while.
Thanks, Sig. Yeah, you know, my life is really fast right now, right? Like, we're really doing big things over here in New York, you know? So, in all seriousness, I had to prep for something that me and Nick are doing today. Happy to be here. Happy to be discussing the crypto markets with Clemente. There was a sick sick podcast that just dropped. Your boy Pomp, I was over here talking about Pomp falling off a little bit, but your boy Pomp got Arthur Hayes, who is funny because everyone like loves listening to Arthur Hayes. He is very intelligent and very knowledgeable about Bitcoin and everything. I think the part that people don't talk about is the fact that he did like get convicted of like a crime, like a financial crime, and had to do like 6 months house arrest as a result. It's just funny in our industry. It's like, yeah, whatever. But
I mean, the founder of Business Insider, Henry Blodgett, had his, stockbroker license taken away. I feel like it's just part of the game, you know? You gotta live life pushing the limit and get your license. Maybe you get a little slap on the wrist. Or in my case, break according to, what's his name, fake news, and risk
labs.
A FINRA violation. What the hell is that guy even talking about?
Wait, what? You're going to get a FINRA violation, amigo.
Because I broke news on a company that literally the market gives no shits about. Nobody cares. It's not like Wall Street Journal reached out and was like, hey, can you help us find this source? They're like, that's a story that literally nobody cares about.
Except for people that own the NFTs.
Yeah, there's basically, it's pretty insane. People are like, wow, I can't believe that they're shutting this down. Nobody cares.
One guy like who's clearly one of your, you know, a new fan, quote tweeted and was like, what's this MF talking about? It was just gibberish to him. All the words you said, he's like, I don't know what this guy talking about.
He's been following like the Choose Rich stuff. He's like, oh yeah, this is interesting. I'll hit him with a follow. And then it's just a bunch of like artifact. And he pulls out like a shoe, takes off the glasses.
Literally nobody. And it's like Nike. And it's like, nobody knew what this was. Nobody knows what this is. There's less.
I liked your take yesterday though, PO, because you were like, you know, would this be a surprise? And you were like, well, this stuff doesn't shut down overnight. In companies this big, it doesn't shut down overnight. And as you were tweeting, it takes time. It takes months to like cool off these divisions. Would have happened at Starbucks as well. So let's see. I'm just waiting for this to brew. I think Nick, we're gonna see this on the front page of the Financial Times with your face holding a shoe.
It's just not a big enough news story for it to get to that level, but I'm sure some little publications will just have Nick with the shoe. But yeah, I mean, like, look, these brands probably capitulated at the bottom. I was saying to Nick yesterday, nobody understands the NFT stuff. Like, no one understands the bleeding edge crypto stuff, including people that are in the space. So even people in the space, most people don't understand it. So you expect corporations like Starbucks and Nike to have like a grasp on it. Nike paid $1 billion for what was, you know, a digital fashion brand. If they didn't pay $1 billion for it, Adidas or Puma or one of these other companies, Reebok, would have done it. Then they're like trying to get return on their investment. And the first mint that holders have to pay for after the acquisition, the holders are there with pitchforks. So the Nike people are probably like, whoa, like we just spent $1 billion on this trying to get a little ROI. And the holders are like, fuck you. You owe us value. You have to deliver value to us. And the Nike people are like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We're a shoe business. Okay. We sell shoes to people. And you're saying you don't want to pay for shoes and you don't want to pay for digital shoes. It's a digital shoe company we just bought. What are you talking about? So it's not really surprising stuff. Anyway, I've caused a digression in the subject of conversation on the show. My apologies, Clemente.
No, we're going to have Tony joining us in about 5 minutes here. But I'm curious for you, PO, I want to quickly ask you about Bitcoin, if you don't mind.
Nick wants to hear about it.
I was surprised. I've short, you know, we have recency bias a little bit, but I saw Scott Melker tweet out that basically a historical corrections that he's seen in Bitcoin, first in the run to 20,000 in 2017, and then the run up to 69,000 in 2021. And there's like these 2 or 3 week periods where there was a 40% correction, 38% correction, 40% correction, 55%. Are you worried at all? Like, I'm just curious of,
no, give me a,
I barely slept last night because of the Bitcoin price, you know?
Are you buying here?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I just literally bought like $1,500 worth with my mom's money. Right before I came on the show, she just plowed another $1,500 in.
Yeah, this literally doesn't matter. You should be happy and excited about this. This should really get you jazzed up. Arthur Hayes on that pump thing, which I didn't get to listen to all of it yet, but I was just tuning in a little bit. Arthur Hayes was basically like, I don't think people, because Arthur Hayes actually was saying things like, people are saying take profits. Oh, it's at 70K. It's been getting pretty hot. I got to take some chips off the table. Do you guys not understand what's about to happen over the next 15, 18 months? It's going to get so weird. It's going to get preposterous over the next 15 to 18 months. This whole army of investors now has access to Bitcoin when they didn't before. And people are worried about like an $8,000 correction on a $70,000 asset. This is just what happens, man. And honestly, I think that this coincides with the meme coin mania, because friends of mine were sending texts, like normie friends that literally came back at the all-time high. They came back at $69,000 Bitcoin. I mean, you can't even draw it up better than that. They literally came back at the exact all-time high, and they're texting me about Elizabeth Warren and Bowdoin. Like, you, that is just preposterous, right? So what happens is the market just takes those people's money, right? As soon as those people come in and they put it into meme coins, the market just takes that money, and then you get like a correction like this, and you get like mass panic from the people that don't, you know, quote, believe in something. I love like people like Mike Dudas dunking on autism capital and stuff, saying like they believe in nothing. I mean, there is truth to that. You have to actually believe in something, and there's a lot of people that just don't. And so at the end of the day, I think that these dips are absolute gifts from, gifts from the crypto gods. And no, I'm not worried at all. If Bitcoin went all the way back to 40K, 35K, I wouldn't be worried at all. I'd have the exact same energy. Actually, I'd be probably more excited.
You notably got involved in the meme coin game.
Notably. Everyone's talking about it.
People were talking about it. They're very surprised that, and it was a little bit of a top signal, which we saw play out. Are you buying any of these dips? I bought some Bonk over the weekend.
My energy there hasn't changed at all. And it's really from listening to people like Joe McCann. It's not a trade. Everyone needs to understand, not a trade, right? So there's no top to buy, because the top's about to be like a $50 billion market cap for WIF 18 months from now. WIF, Doge, I've been having Doge. You know I've had Doge for a while. WIF, Doge, Bonk, Mog, am I forgetting something? I think that's it, right? There might be something else.
Pepe?
No, I can't do the Pepe. I understand the strength of Pepe. You know, look, dogs and frogs, right? So like there is something to Pepe, but it's just, it's an ETH one. I'd rather do Mog on ETH. It's a cat. Oh, WEN is interesting. WEN is definitely interesting. So it's like WIF. By the way, I was asking Easy over and over again before the big WIF pump. I was like, yo, do you like WIF here? He just kept saying no. He just kept saying no. And at some point, I just said, I don't care if he's saying no, I'm going. Like, I do not care. I don't know why. Easy doesn't understand WIF. Like, I'm going on record. I'm saying it. Ask Easy about WIF. He doesn't understand it.
WIF? He also doesn't get Jupiter. I asked him Jupe.
No,
he told me to sell it at 0.6. It was bullshit. And then the next day, he goes, oh, dude, I just found 5,000 Jupe in like 16 different wallets I have, dude. Let's go.
you can't always, you know, he's got the trader.
He's not a holder.
Yeah.
He's a short-term trader. He can't hold on to anything, man. Like, it's just not possible.
Except Solana. WIF, Bonk, WEN, Mog, Doge. And Doge is at this point a quote boomer, a boomer coin. But I like those. And that's what I like. And then
got it. I'm actually interested in potentially buying some meme coin here. And then just staking it. But I just hate buying anything on ETH. Like, I just hate it. I'm not a big like, why would I buy something and then end up paying another $50 in gas? And then you just get barbecued.
Ethereum gas fees are extremely weird now. Like, when I went to buy Mog, I had to pay like I haven't talked about this on the show, I don't think. But you know when everyone was like, you have to do the little pudgies thing for the airdrop? Spencer, when we were out of lunch, he was like, please tell me you're going to do it. Please tell me that you're going to do it. And I was just like, okay, I'll do this little pudgy layer zero thing where you move the little pudgies. That cost me $1,000. I spent $1,000 on that. I'm not exaggerating. It was $1,000 and it was horrible. It was so horrible to move the little pudgies across the different things. Ask Easy. I was texting him the whole time. I probably sounded like a disgruntled customer to a store that Easy has nothing to do with. Cause I was just like, this is so stupid. I hate doing administrative work, period. Like in my professional life, I'm over here grinding out administrative work in crypto on a shitty blockchain, with actual, like no real clarity. It's not like they said, if you do this, you're going to get X amount of money. And it cost me $1,000. I literally lit $1,000 of Ethereum on fire in the process. And now all the little pudgies are on different chains. It's going to take so long to dig them all up. They're in like 12 different wallets. He's just like, yeah, Easy was like, yeah, I put them all in different wallets because I'm a sicko. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I have to do that too. So I got them in like 12 different wallets. If you look at my MetaMask right now, it's like, and MetaMask sucks, by the way. And so there's like 12 different wallets that all have little pudgies in them on different chains, BNB chain, AVAX, blah, blah, blah. It's going to take another half day to dig them all out. And they went down 50%. So it's like that was a real weird experience to participate in, I'd say.
I completely concur with your experience, PR. I had exactly the same. And I bridged them over. And then after it got to the BNB chain, I was like, how do I get these off BNB? And you're just sitting there. You're just like, I've got stuff to do in my day. People are like wanting me to be somewhere else. You're Googling it, like, and it was so annoying. And then Pudgy's released their tickets for their NFT Paris event. So I went to go and get it. Wouldn't work. Had to go into Discord. And then you find out you couldn't get a Discord because your Pudgy is living on some other chain and the contract has been written only for your Pudgy to be on Ethereum. So then you have to go back and bridge this little Pudgy back to the Ethereum chain. You waste time, waste money, horrible experience. Completely agree. But I think the layer zero will pay off in the future. So you'll get that $1,000 back.
We'll see. Crypto farming, right? First of all, in the future, crypto farming, it's either not going to exist or like basically no one's going to do it because there's no way this is like actually like a thing in the future. This is just like an early crypto thing. There's no way. It's the equivalent. It's the shittiest version of people. You know, the people that do like credit card manipulation, like the people that are like, oh, well, I actually started an LLC to get that business card because it gets me this benefit and I got X amount of points. I know at least one person that like goes really hard on that. And that's obviously like that's a very niche thing. Not that many people are barbecuing their credit for the sake of like doing a little bit of manipulation of points, right? Like that's not really a mainstream thing. That's what this crypto farming thing is. It's not going to be like sustainable. I did it for the Pudgy thing. I don't know if I'll ever do it again. I mean, people are saying Mad Lads get all the airdrops. I've held a Mad Lad for like 7 months at this point. I've gotten zero things because they're like, oh, well, you have to go and you do like a Frodo Baggins type quest to try to figure out how to get something. It's just, and then everyone acts like you're an asshole when you don't do it. They're like, oh, you didn't do that? I'm like, how was I possibly supposed to know that I was supposed to go and do that? Anyway. Yeah, I'll stop.
I actually do disagree with you here, Perry, because I think it's actually the biggest opportunity right now because it won't exist in the future. Yeah. So it's like right now you're getting outrageous returns. So you looked at what happened on EtherFi with restaking. You put 0.1 ETH in, people are just getting like over $2,000 literally for putting 0.1 ETH in. And so these like outsized returns won't be there in the future. However, I expect farming will exist, but that volatility and that return will just get lower and lower and lower as more and more people come into space. So even though it's like annoying to do at the moment, I do think the outsized returns definitely makes it worth the time. But in future, like you say, it will be like credit card work.
You're right. Do you know what gives better return or like the most outsized returns?
Here we go.
Bitcoin at $0.064 million. How about that one? How's that price? $0.064 million. Is that cheap enough for you?
A billion. That looks even better. Or fraction of a trillion is even more interesting.
I didn't say $1 trillion Bitcoin.
I mean, you're basically saying that.
I do like Joe McCann's $1 trillion Solana, but I love that. I love that. And I've actually been having thoughts about, like, I know how I'm going to approach all of the assets that I'm holding when things are just so weird, except Solana. It's the only one I don't know. I mean, the Bitcoin one is easy. Not selling any of it, period, under any circumstances. That one's easy, right? The NFT one is easy. Selling, like, all of them. when it's just so insanely weird. The meme coin one is easy. Selling all of them when it's insanely weird, right? In like a year and a half or something. Solana, I could see a world where I regret selling it. The Solana is like a serious asset. It really is.
Man,
I don't want to sell Solana at like $600 and be like, what a trade. And then it goes to $2,000 and I had so much of it. And I'm like, I sold millions of dollars of Solana at $600 by accident, you know?
You can't look at it that way. I feel like you have to, you sell a little bit, you get your money back. It's risk-free money at that point. It's just sitting there. But
well, keep in mind, I don't look at it the same way that you do. Like I'm totally comfortable just holding the hell out of it. Like it's easy for me to just never sell any Solana at all. That's like, that's light work. That's like not a problem. I could just never sell
it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's also easy to not sell pudgies when they're at $55,000 or something like that or whatever it is. And
do you want to clip this comment and show it to me in like 15 months? Do you really want to play this game? You want to clip that?
Yeah, clip it.
Okay. Comente, clip it. I think long-term, man, I don't want to be saying something where in 15 months we can just jam on the clip.
When I mean,
the
budget's also,
like 250K.
You remember you said you would throw the white flag or raise the
early,
white flag
not
on, the,
wrong.
On the price.
Early, not wrong.
You were definitively wrong.
Early.
You were wrong. You did not follow up.
Nothing wrong with being early.
You made the claim and you didn't.
I was wrong in 2021. I was right overall.
No one said that it's never going to that price. It was literally a specific date and time that you said it would hit X price by, and it just didn't.
Yeah, you know.
And you're saying the same thing here again. So I'm totally comfortable having that clip. What are you going to do this time? Make up some bullshit because you're never going to do it.
I'm just going to put the clip on my soundboard when the pudgies are like 250K.
What I need is what you're going to do if it doesn't hit that price.
Ever? If it never hits, like, well, I mean, now I'm throwing 250K. That is an aggressive price prediction, but selling a pudgy at 55K is not my thing when I then have to also do the tax. You know, there's significant
okay,
tax.
Okay, so what are you going to do when you lose?
When I lose, I just lose the pudgy penguin, it just gets burned.
No, you lose the bet. So what happens when you lose the bet?
What's the bet?
You had me clip it saying it would have been a bad idea to sell it at 55K or whatever. What's the bet?
Do you dead serious? Do you, well, first, yeah, I will smoke crack live on air. Do you sincerely actually believe what you're saying? Like when you really think about what could happen over the next 15 months, do you think 55K for a pudgy penguin is an appropriate price to be selling it at? When you know that it's before breakfast shit for me to hold this stuff for 2 years.
I do.
It's before breakfast shit for me to hold this stuff for 10 years.
I actually do.
Okay. Well, I'll see you at 150,000. How about that?
Just throw out a random number. So what's the target and what's the date?
125K, okay, which is more than double the price that you're saying. And let's go 15 months from right now. How about that? 125K. You want, that's a bet you want to take?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What's the bet?
That you're wrong.
I get that. What's the consequence?
You got to chop off your right leg.
Dismemberment is unfortunately not on the table, Nick.
But I have no idea. Last time you said I will raise the white flag and you never did it. You never did it. You know,
I just said it right now. I was wrong about the 2021 Bitcoin price prediction, but only because of the time
frame. You physically need to like raise a white flag. Like I want to see it on your flagpole.
Okay. We'll put a white flag on the flagpole. How about that? Thank you. Was early, but not wrong.
What would be,
I have to clean your air filters. There's a lot of them.
I just replace them. It does sound weird, though. I don't know what's up with the air filter. It's acting up a little bit. Man, I don't know. Let's just bet $1,000.
$1,000 bet?
Huh. Yeah.
I don't typically do cash bets, Nick. I'm not a gambler.
But you'll have a penguin worth $150,000
at that point. So what the fuck is $1,000?
Goes without saying, because just Bitcoin and Solana at that time will and meme coins for quite frankly are pretty weird. But I don't know, a cash bet isn't that fun, Nick. I thought you were more of a fun guy.
Well, you haven't suggested anything else, so
you're the one suggesting the bet.
If it's not at $125,000 by next June, you have to give me $1,000.
It's just not that fun. If you really want to do it that way,
come up with something else, Pio. I don't want to waste these people's time.
Clemente, what's so funny?
Just people are saying, like, what the fuck did I just walk into?
I do feel like when I came in, I threw off the trajectory of the show.
Just give us an answer.
I didn't know I was going to have to come up with wagers on the show this morning. I was busy preparing for the video that we have to shoot after this. Sorry.
Pio has to do a 30-minute podcast about dating, sex, and all things good in New York.
Nobody wants to listen 30 to that,
minutes. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And Nick will co-host with him. That's what he has to do. You do one-on-one interview.
Nobody wants to listen. If there's anything that I've learned over 2.5 years, people just want to hear about gambling, but like via crypto products.
And sex.
Dude, people were like, when you started talking with Clemente about dating, people would like draw a line in the sand being like, I will not listen to this show anymore if you keep talking about dating. You must talk about short-term gambling on niche crypto assets. That is all I would like to listen to. Like, people were on record. It was crazy. Like, tweet campaigns where they were like, if they keep talking about dating, I will not listen to the show. It has to be about short-term gambling of crypto.
I had
assets.
A guy say, if I'll start listening to your show every day if you turn out the news story is right about Artifact. And I'm like,
cool, you should listen to it right now then.
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
In all seriousness, how many times do we have to go through this where it's the exact same result where it's like, news story broken, founder comes out and says it's fake, but doesn't really go off saying it's fake. It's like one tweet just so that they could say that they said it was fake. But it's, you know, not an actual like full core press. Community manager and community members are like, it's not true. 90 to 180 days go by, maybe 240 days in some situations. Turns out it was true. In the Cool Cat scenario, one tiny detail incorrect, which was the Yuga Labs component.
Yeah, the Yuga Labs thing was wrong. There were some details. The information has gotten better and better over time, though.
It's clean. The only one that was wrong was when we broke Sandbox. That Facebook was going to acquire Sandbox, and Sebastian from Sandbox had to go on TV to address it. During that period of time, it was just so funny. And we had broken the Bored Ape Yacht Club funding round right before that, too. During that period, I just got the biggest kick out of the fact that we were making these CEOs, like these people that have like important jobs, have to like clear their schedules to address things. I just thought that was so funny. Like we were making these high level executives have to do stuff.
I mean, I don't think he was mad about going on CNBC. Anyways, so PO is going to owe me $10,000. I owe $1,000 if he's wrong.
Got it.
If I'm wrong.
The least fun bet ever. Clemente, by the way, you're looking good on camera today. I see you cleaned up the lighting. I love to see it. Should we wrap?
It was the same lighting as yesterday. It's just the sun's out now. Or the light came out.
Better frame than yesterday.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Anyways, thank you everyone for tuning in. One more quick shout out to Tensor. Or sorry, not Tensor. One more quick shout out to Shrapnel, who is doing all things GDC this week. They have their STX2 coming out. They're doing new guns, new skins. Their marketplace is also going to be launching this week where you can trade skins with each other. You're not going to want to miss that. And their Shrap token just got listed on the crypto.com exchange. So shout out to the Shrapnel team. If you want to participate on your STX 2.0, you can go to the nifty.com/shrapnel and use promo code NIFTY20 for 20% off your Shrapnel extraction pack. Thank you all. And we will be back tomorrow.